Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. Based on my personal travels, I regularly meet an abundance of men and women that are exclaiming their desire to be free from a very long list of various habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors. So this morning, I'm going to take some time and really address the topic, change. How is that defined? And let's take it even a step further. What does that look like? The Oxford American Dictionary defines change as to make or become different, to pass from one form or phase into another. Certainly for any individual, the greatest change is to become a Christian and know that your destination has been changed from hell to heaven to become born again. While scripture and an abundance of secular literature provide evidence that homosexuality, though deeply ingrained and even habitually practiced, can be overcome both as a lifestyle and as an identity, many seem to still differ, object, and require an explanation of what it means for a homosexual to truly change. To be sure, in the world of men and women that are struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction, and certainly those who love them, the word change is often a very hot button. Often, individuals who are normally mild-mannered and passive become red-faced and belligerent at the mere mention that change might even be possible. Maybe you've noticed, heated arguments erupt when this issue is brought up. However, the question, can homosexuals really change, I believe is a fair and a very important question. Based on my personal ministry experience, each person seeking to overcome homosexuality is different. The men and women that have exited homosexuality span a wide variety of ages, personalities, occupations, nationalities, and church denominations. Some of these men and women have been free from any form of homosexual involvement for 10, 20 years, some even more. And they are not just suppressing their strong homosexual or lesbian longings. There has been a true resolution of this issue in their lives. Often caught in the middle of the emotional conflict regarding change is the person who struggles with unwanted same-sex attraction. To him, and I'm going to be using the pronoun generically for both men and women, the issue of change is more than just an issue of emotional debate. It strikes at the very core of his being, either bringing hope and sometimes even possibly despair. Certainly, there is no identical plan of action for healing, restoration, deliverance. There's no quick fix or 1-2-3 snap formula. Many seeking freedom from unwanted same-sex attraction have found all they've needed to resolve this area in their life through their local church. Others have found support through a local ex-gay ministry, which offered spiritual guidance and frequent fellowship support groups. And still there are other men and women those who deeply had rooted issues of same-sex attraction in their lives, they have sought professional therapy. Having been around the phenomenon of change for quite some time, I am convinced that much of the conflict regarding homosexuality and change comes from a misunderstanding of the meaning of the word change. Redemptive changes occur in all of us as human beings and are precipitated by many things: God's timing, our desires, our commitment to God and the healing restoration process, and certainly our past involvement in sinful behavior, and what it was that ultimately pushed us that direction into that particular sin in the first place. With homosexuality, it is no different. The contributing factors to a person having an issue with same-gender attraction are numerous and complex. However, that does not minimize God's power, nor His sovereignty, nor does it change the undeniable biblical evidence that God can change the life of a person involved in an intense battle with same-sex attraction. Homosexuals have been experiencing change since the Bible was written. I would refer each and every one of us to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Yes, change occurs within a process, and a process takes time. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process. Working through character faults and past hurts, immaturities, and insecurities is a long process for everyone, not just the recovering homosexual or lesbian. What is that process? What are some of the battles they will undoubtedly have to face? There must be, first and foremost, an admittance that I need to change. It's pretty tough to admit that I need to change, especially if I've had same-sex attraction for as long as I can remember and they feel natural. To admit that I need to change is to say that there's something wrong with the way I am or the way that I am living. That's a pretty difficult, tough pill to swallow because it hurts our ego. However, admitting that I need help is a brave first step. Change ultimately is a cooperative venture between God and us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Leaving homosexuality is something like submitting to major spiritual surgery. Identity becomes an absolute turmoil. That should not be so surprising, since any time we make a change in our behavior, it is usually because the pain involved in that behavior outweighs the pleasure. Maybe you've noticed, while we know intellectually we must make a change, our feelings don't necessarily follow. Men and women that say goodbye to homosexuality or lesbianism experience grief, disorientation, and confusion. Anytime we lose something or someone important to us, the loss registers deep within our being. Not surprising, the loss impacts our life and we grieve. For people coming out of homosexuality, the loss can be multifaceted: an identity, possibly a partner, a living situation, many different considerations. The change is often dramatic, and the grief, disorientation, can sometimes be very, very overwhelming, and in some cases, devastating. Exposing the roots and opening old wounds can be costly. Why study or even explore the root or roots of brokenness? In terms of homosexuality, understanding homosexual development points the way to true resolution. The changing of any behavior necessitates retracing the steps that have brought us to this point of brokenness. Looking at family dynamics, painful childhood experiences, physical or sexual abuse, peer pressure, temperament and interests, societal influences all can play a part in shaping a person's sexual orientation. If I desire to understand how I arrived at my point of brokenness, I must delve into my life, examining the path I have taken and what may have robbed me of a healthy heterosexual identity. Identifying painful situations and working through them is part of the healing process. It requires total commitment to the will of God. Why do some people make it out of homosexuality while other men and women do not? One common denominator among those men and women that have experienced significant change involves the issue of surrender and control in their lives. Nothing short of total commitment to the will of God, despite feelings, emotions, hormones, temptations, etc., will hold a homosexual to the discipline needing for the change process. Ultimately, the lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture must prevail in all circumstances and take priority regardless of what I think or what I may possibly be feeling. Sexual sin is very, very insidious. At its core, it is a need to be loved, to be held, and to be treasured. But like so many of Satan's tricks, sex becomes the cheap substitute, the means to an end. Commitment to God's will necessitates death, a dying to self, a death to what I want when I want it, and giving over to what God wants for me. It is putting God literally on the throne instead of self. There is also a cost to change. Ultimately, a person's freedom or deliverance from homosexuality comes through and from a person rather than a method. Ironically, the interesting thing about the change process is that change itself is not the ultimate goal. Change of any type or to any degree will only occur when that person pursues a far more compelling goal and focus. Freedom, change, healing, restoration only comes when we look upward to Jesus and we are purposed to enter more deeply into fellowship with Him. Right now, there are men and women at all levels of change. Once again, all Christians face the decision of accepting or rejecting Christ's lordship. As our Creator, God is the only one who knows exactly how to restore us and to bring about change in our lives. To those that have made the journey out of homosexuality and those that are now in the process, I applaud your courage and the ground you have gained. You chose the high calling of God. Therefore, He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, according to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Personally, I am convinced that more men and women would find freedom from sexual and relational brokenness if they would stop being told what they want to hear instead of what they need to know. God is more than able to bring good out of trouble, and no matter what the issue may be regarding a person's sexuality, God can heal it. Too often, I find myself warning men and women against solutions that are more magic than miracle and that sow confusion in the hearts of Christians. I spent too much time trying to pick up the pieces of disillusioned Christians who have unsuccessfully tried some instant cure. Our healing, our deliverance, and our restoration does not come from a method or a program, but through a living Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. Frankly, I do believe there are times when we over-spiritualize things, when what we really need to do is take a very practical step. One of the chief obstacles to healing is our obsession with the immediate. The itch for the instantaneous pervades much of our Christian thinking. We tend to think that unless a healing is immediate, it's not of God. Maybe you've noticed like I have. We have become impatient with things that take time. Isn't it amazing that people will go to a lot of trouble to learn French or physics or possibly even scuba diving? They have the patience to learn how to operate a car, but they won't be bothered learning how to operate themselves. It has been said, "He that would get weeds destroyed must plant the ground with contrary seeds." We cannot walk in God's ways unless He teaches us, but it is deception to ask Him to teach us unless we resolve to obey Him as He instructs us. With any obsessive or addictive behavior, once again, a person must want to change before permanent healing or restoration can take place. God indeed will give us the strength we need when we need it, but it all revolves around the intimacy that we develop with Him and the diligence and the hunger with which we pursue Him. When we begin to develop an intimate relationship with God, we will begin to speak to our innermost impressions, and sometimes a small, still voice that seems to go directly into our heart and mind without the benefit of our ears. Sometimes God will cause us to hear the same message over and over, or even have a number of people come up to us and share the same thing about something that is appropriate to what has recently been on our heart and in our prayers. It's a given. Within the process of healing, restoration, and deliverance from any heterosexual sexual addiction or homosexuality, God will no doubt point out certain places, people, and activities that He wants a man or woman to avoid and eliminate from their life. If pornography has been a part of your problem, God will undoubtedly require you to destroy it and not buy any more. But He may also tell you to avoid magazine racks and even avoid driving down streets where they are located, at least until you have become strong enough to resist such temptations and enticements. Don't be surprised if God tells you not to buy certain magazines, even socially acceptable ones, like store catalogs, knowing that most of your time is spent gazing at the good-looking men and women rather than the clothes. God may tell you not to rent or view certain videos or even watch television shows, you know, those ones that emphasize your former heartthrobs. The Lord may tell you to no longer drive in neighborhoods or frequent places where you used to share and stare at beautiful people. He may tell you to forget about the gym or even going to a health spa. This is a truly hard one. God may tell you to give up certain friends, people who He knows will only pull you back into bondage or in some way impede your healing. You must decide to trust God that He knows exactly what He is doing. Take a tip, please. Always do what God asks you to do. He never asks you to do something that isn't ultimately for your good. Let me offer some very practical tips on this whole subject matter of change. Starve the old nature to death. Once again, avoid the people, the places, and things that God reveals as feeding troughs for your sin nature. Frequent men's and women's fellowship groups in addition to regular church services so that you can receive the kind of healthy support, modeling, and acceptance that has been missing in your life. And by all means, find someone with whom you can be accountable. Increase the amount of time you spend seeking God in prayer and crying out to Him for help. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. The greatest danger we all face is our tendency to forge ahead of God to conquer things on our own. This is a big, big mistake. And you and I will probably fall flat on our face each and every time we try it. Save yourself a lot of time, effort, and grief. Wait on the Lord to tell you when and how to deal with the various components of your situation. Psalms 127:1 tells us clearly, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Jesus Christ is the only one in this world or any other who will ever be worthy of glory and praise. And for any of us to think outside of his will only sets us up for a great amount of heartache and despair. While we are all walking through this process of maturity in Christ Jesus, there seems to be an area where the word change is not only acceptable, but a must. And that is in the area of how a person comes to think about homosexual practice. While there are many ideas floating around in society regarding same-gender partnerships and experimentation, Scripture would require a change in the orientation of the thought processes towards same-gender partnerships and sexual behavior or practice. This change is rooted in an understanding of God's creative order and divine intent for marriage and human sexuality. A Christian cannot step away from the clear teaching of Genesis chapter 2, later affirmed by Christ in Matthew 19 as it regards the fruit or evidence of a changed heart in relation to this subject. Any homosexual liaison is a breach of divine purposes. No matter what society or our passions say to the contrary, the only one flesh experience God intends and Scripture contemplates is the union of a man and his wife. There is no justification from the Bible or Christian tradition for sexual activity outside of heterosexual marriage and would even find its application in the so-called loving committed homosexual partnerships and unions. With so clear a biblical principle that is divinely revealed and universally accepted, and since heterosexual monogamy was established by creation and not by culture, there can be no true liberation from God's creative order. True freedom is found only in accepting His word on this matter, which begins in our thinking and becomes lived out in our resultant choices and our lifestyle. While my lifestyle issues may take some time to mature into complete alignment with God's intended plan, my thinking changes as a much better earlier point in time. While there are those who would say, well, if all of us are in the change process, then it would be the duty of heterosexual Christians to accept homosexuals who consider themselves Christ's followers until they come along to a biblical way of thinking. If God welcomes people just as they are, then so should we. Certainly, God does accept us just where we are, and we do not have to make ourselves good first. God also fully and freely forgives all who repent and believe. Indeed, we should all accept one another as fellow repenters and fellow people on a journey, but not as fellow sinners who are resolved to persist in sinning. God always welcomes in order to redeem and transform us, not to leave us alone in our sin. There is no evidence in Scripture that accepts or is promised by either God or the church if our hardened hearts persist in our sin against His order and His word. It is by faith that each and every believer accepts God's standards. God's standard is heterosexual marriage or singleness and sexual abstinence. Our world teaches that sexual expression is absolutely essential to human fulfillment, and that to expect people with a homosexual orientation to abstain is to condemn them to frustration and to drive them to despair. It's outrageous to ask them to deny themselves. It's inhuman and cruel. We must understand that while sex is a good gift from God, it is not essential to be a complete person. Who are we to believe, God or the culture around us? No, not one or the other in terms of change or mature, but an application and a balance of both. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. As a Christian, my personal opinions and even an intense battle with the flesh must always take a back seat to who God is and what He has clearly stated. Acknowledging and often resisting in the truth and reality that I will forever be in process until I either go home to be with Him or He comes back to get me. In conclusion, I would offer a quote from Martin Hallett, who wrote the book, I Am Learning to Love, A Personal Journey to Wholeness in Christ. It will, I believe, offer room for thought to each and every one of Christ's faithful followers who are still changing and maturing. Listen to this quote. I have learned, I am learning, I will learn to love God, other people, and myself. The healing process will be complete when I am with Jesus. Indeed, once again, whether we have been walking with Jesus for a day or 50 years, we are all in the process of change, being changed and conformed more into the likeness of our loving Savior. At His Way Out Ministries, we remain dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister transformingly to those who struggle with homosexuality. We continue to believe restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. We are committed to lovingly communicate to the sexually broken that God's mercy and grace are sufficient for transformation. Restoration and wholeness through competent ministry, prayer, and a caring Christian community is possible. At His Way Out Ministries, we offer a variety of ministry services, biblical discipleship, care groups, workshops and seminars, educational resources are all available. And for more information about His Way Out Ministries and the various ministry services we provide, please visit our website, hiswayout.com. Again, I'd like to thank you for tuning in this morning. I hope that you'll join me once again next Saturday, same time, same station. And until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.